राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, स्वयं विष्णुवार परमंस परिपराजिक श्रीअस्तुतरस्तुति श्रीमद्वाई श्री भक्तिवृंद स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय, श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, सामवेद भक्तवृंद की glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So today we're looking at a new chapter from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's chapter 41 and it's entitled Krishna and Balaram Enter Mathura. Hare Krishna. So they left Ramanriti for a little bit. Okay, so we'll read the synopsis, the summary, and would you like us to charade it out? Or do you want to do that? Okay, for fun interaction. Okay. Okay, this chapter. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna entered the city of Mathura, killed a washerman, and bestowed benedictions upon a weaver and a garland maker named Sudama. After showing his Vishnu form to Akura in the waters of the Yamuna and receiving Akura's prayers, Lord, with he withdrew that vision, just as an actor winds up his performance. Very good. Akura emerged from the water and in great amazement approached the Lord, who asked him whether he had seen some thing. Wonderful while bathing. Akura replied, whatever wonderful things there are in the realms of water, earth, or sky, all have their existence within you, capital U. Thus, when one has seen you, nothing remains unseen. Akura then began driving the chariot again. It's a little more like this. Okay. Krishna, Balaram, and Akura reached Mathura late in the afternoon. After meeting up, it's not fair, you know every word in this. Okay. BBT. BBT translators disqualified. Okay. After meeting up with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherds who had gone on a head. Krishna asked to return home, promising to visit him there after he had killed Kamsa. Akura unhappily bid the Lord good bye. Went to King Kamsa to inform him that and had come and went home. Krishna and Balaram took the coward boys with them to see the splendorous city. As they all entered Mathura, the women of the city eagerly came out of their houses to see Krishna. They had often heard about him and had long since developed a deep attraction for him. But now that they were actually seeing him, they were, oh my God, overwhelmed with happiness, and all their distress due to his absence was begins with an E-E-E-E-R-R-R-R-A-A-A-D-D-D-D. Eradicated. Woo! Okay, Krishna and Balaram then came upon Kamsa's wicked washerman. Krishna asked him for some of the first-class garments he was carrying. But he refused. And even chastised the two lords. Very good. At this, Krishna became very angry and beheaded the man with his finger tips. The washerman's assistants, seeing his untimely there's no beginning, there's no end. Yeah. Okay. The washerman's assistants, seeing his untimely end, dropped their bundles of clothes on the spot and ran off in all directions. Krishna and Balaram then took some of the garments they especially fancied. Next, a weaver approached the two lords and arrayed them suitably, for which service he received from opulence in this life and liberation in the next. And then went to the house of the garland maker, and his name was Sudama. Sudama offered them his full obeisance. And then worshipped them. That was a boat, by the way. Worshipped them by bathing their feet and offering them such items as argya and sandalwood paste and chanted prayers in their honor. Then he adorned them with of fragrant flowers. Pleased, the lords offered him whatever benedictions he wished. And then he moved on. Arimalo, you did it. So here is the text. fights out and helps out. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Stuvatas. Tasya. Bhagawan. Darshayitva. Jale. Vapuhu. Bhuya. Samaharat. Krishno. Nato. Natyam. Ivatmanaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Stuvatas tasya Bhagavan. Darshayitva jaleva pahu. Bhuya samaharat Krishno. Nato natyam ivatmanaha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Stuvatas tasya Bhagavan. Darshayitva jaleva pahu. Bhuya samaharat Krishno. Nato natyam ivatmanaha. Someone?
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Tasya Bhagavan. Jalevapahu. Bhuya samahara Krishna. Vikonatyam ivatmanaha.
Shri Shuka
Uvacha. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Stuvatas tasya Bhagavan. Darshayitva jale vapuhu. And Mataji. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Stuvatas tasya Bhagavan. Jaleva pahu. Bhuya samahara Krishna. Nato natyam ivatmanaha. Shuka Uvacha. Tasya Bhagavan. Yatva jaleva pahu. Bhuya samahara Krishna. Nato natyam ivatmanaha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Bhagavan. Darshayitva jaleva pahu. Bhuya samahara Krishna. Nato natyam ivatmanaha. Chai, thank you very much. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Shukadev Goswami said, Stuvataha, while praying, Tasya hi Akura, Bhagawan, the Supreme Lord, Darshayitva, having shown, Jale, in the water, Vapuhu, his personal form, Bhuyaha, again, Samaharat, withdrew, Krishnaha, Shri Krishna, Nataha, an actor. Natyam, the performance. Eva, as. Atmanaha, his own. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, while Akura was still offering prayers, the Supreme Lord Krishna withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. Repete, s'il vous plaît. Shukadev Goswami said, while Akura was still offering prayers, the Supreme Lord Krishna withdrew his form that he had revealed in the water, just as an actor winds up his performance. And purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Srila Prabhupada, and actually his disciples. One sense, none different. One bit different. Okay. And those disciples decided to give us one sentence. Thanks a lot. Okay. Lord Krishna withdrew from Akura's sight, the Vishnu form, along with the vision of the spiritual sky and its eternal inhabitants. Hare Krishna. All right. What do you generally do? Do you go on or just with a few other shlokas or what's the pattern? What have they assigned me? Okay.
And I'll tell you what.
Just the one.
Just the one today?
Just the one.
Okay, challenge. All right, it's okay. Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Okay, so those of you who have been following this particular Leela in the last few days know that Krishna was doing his usual magic and that he was revealing one of his incredible images to Akura. And, the purpose behind these images, it's expressed here. The Lord is doing a performance. He's always putting on some drama. I don't know if you noticed. But the whole story of the Mahabharata is a drama. And the whole thing was like a little bit of a setup in order to bring about, there was many reasons for this performance of an 18-year war. But one of the reasons behind it was that the immortal truth could be told. You know, when people are out to have it out with each other, and perhaps there's even the prospect or a chance or unfortunate circumstance that you might lose your body and you might be reincarnating faster than you hoped, then it's time for a sit down, a discussion, and that's exactly what Krishna did. You know? I mean, he lined up all these armies, 7 on the side of the Kauravas and 11 on the side of the reverse. Pandavas had 7 Okshahinis, military formations, and 11 went to the Kaurava, 7 to the Pandavas. I always try to remember as 7-11. That's a minute. And there was a lot of tension built up, and the exile was 13 years of this kind of tension building up, and now we're coming to the point where all hell will break loose, and now it's time for some contemplation, some deep meditation, and considering what the consequences will be, and just kind of like preparing yourself for what is inevitable. What is inevitable? You may live if you're involved in the war. You may live, you may die, but it's good to speed up the process. It's good to step up on what needs to be done. Just the other day, we were at someone's program in their home, a home blessing. And it's called a homa, too, by the way. I had to think about that. That's a South Indian term for a havan, homa. Okay? The pujari was a little bit late. He got a flat tire. He should do a yajna for his car. When you looked at the car, you could just understand it. And there were a couple of new people there. And They had some questions, so we went a little to the side while the pujari was getting his yajna paraphernalia together. And, they were following a different yogic path. They were both yoga instructors, husband and wife. And we kind of went, in our discussion, we kind of went in all directions. And then I decided, let's get down to the what's really important. Where do you want to be when you die? You know, what's going to be your status? What's going to be your, what will be your thoughts? What will what will be your status quo? What will be your position? What's your position? And they were just quiet. They went on a vow of silence for a minute. I say, why don't we consider this proposition? Is it not that we should just try to get clean? Should we not try to wrap up stuff? You know, get the trash out, do some disposal program, just go for some purification. Wouldn't that be what it should be? I remember the second time I did a walk across Canada, I don't know if I told the story, just a simple one. But it was Mother's Day, it actually was Mother's Day. And I didn't know because, you know, you're a member of the Hare Krishna movement and you're traveling, you know, to keep up on all the news. So anyways, a couple pulled over and said, oh, and they came over to see me. Said, oh, we heard what you're doing. We think it's wonderful. And the woman spoke. She said, you know, it's Mother's Day. And my mother just recently passed away. And I believe that she's going to come back into this world again to take care of things she couldn't finish up. Says, what do you think about that? I said, I think you're right on. I think you're right on. And then there was another case. This is the third time I walked, and a fellow pulled over. He was Russian-born. You could tell by his accent. This was in the Rocky Mountains. And he pulled over, and he said, I just want to ask you a question. I saw you earlier on with your robes, and I was just very curious. So I had to come by and just ask you something. Now, I have this recurring dream, and in this dream, I felt I was a monk in my past life during the revolution, Russian Revolution. And I was in a monastery and I was reading quietly in the library of the monastery. And then some soldiers came. They demanded in. The door was locked. They demanded in. They were banging at the door. And finally they broke through and a gun was pointed directed right to me and then blast. Everything went black. And I have this recurring dream again and again and again. And he said, he asked my opinion, I believe that I was that monk. Do you believe, you know, I mean, he just wants some kind of confirmation. Am I nuts? Or that I was that monk. And said, there's very good reason to believe that you were this person in the monastery. I have no reason to doubt you, you know. But what we have to consider is anybody can come to our door. Anything can happen. We can leave. And where do you want to be? Don't you want to just kind of get clean, and that means that if you have an opportunity, a chance to wind up things and in term, wind up your performance, your drama. Like if you got some stuff inside, I guess that helps out. You got some stuff inside, maybe you've got some animosity towards somebody, you've been bearing a grudge for a long time, maybe decades. Maybe it's time to do something about it. Step forward and kind of like make up, kiss and make up. You know, go for forgiveness. Maybe it's time to say thank you to a lot of people. And if you're always on a roll in this practice, then you're kind of, you can go anytime. You know, it's not like you're suddenly having to do a cram it all in course. But on a regular basis, say, you know, one of my sannyasi god brothers, you know, he said to me, you know, I'm always saying thank you. I have to say thank you for this, thank you for that. And it was nice to hear Prabhupada say thank you, whoever put that thank you on the recording. Thank you. I love you. it's those kind of things that as Vaishnavas we need to exercise apart from all the other good things that we do. We have to step up a little bit. Now, today I was reflecting on a couple of verses from the Bhagavad Gita, which are similar. There are sometimes, there's a few occasions where Krishna practically says the same thing. Apichit Asipathibya, chapter 4. And then he talks about Apichit Sudaracharo. And the message is about the same, but different at the same time. And I was trying to see what's the progression. The one in chapter 9 is a little more progressed, I would say. So in chapter 4, Krishna is saying that if you're a very great sinner, if you've done some abominable things, some bad things, most of us are in that league. What do you vote? Some people in that league? Done some bad things? Many things, okay? This, everything. Everything, so many things. And what does Krishna say about how do you absolve yourself of the pop, the sin? And it goes beyond drinking pop. You absorb yourself in the boat of transcendental knowledge. You know, you cultivate this, you read it, you know. You read through till the buddhi is filled up with it. The intelligence is happy with it. And then you assimilate it and you convert it into the world of action. You know? So chapter 4, Krishna talks about transcendental knowledge and how it will help. Now, a little bit later on, 5 chapters later, pretty much the same message comes out from the lotus mouth of the Lord. And he says that even if you commit a great abomination, if you are, you apply dridavrata, determination in the matter of overcoming your problems. It's the application that now becomes important, not just reading the book. It's not just book knowledge. So what I'm getting at here is that while we read, and we have regular readers here, the step that goes beyond that is putting it all into application, jnanam and vijnanam, and trying to go a little bit beyond. And just like we're reading about the beautiful pastimes of Krishna Balaram and how really pertinent this is, especially because we are in the land of Krishna Balaram with all the sand and, you know, you have to see beyond the Spanish moss and the armadillos and whatever else you got going on around here. Fire ants, okay? You know, I mean, I know I walked from Anantashesha's place, and I know there's lots of things going on. I walked in the dark, and there's a lot of rustling going on. There's a lot of things out there. And, you know, we just simply have to go beyond. So yesterday, I apologize, I wasn't able to make it to the program, but in the morning, we came back late from the program in Orlando, night before, and the recording of the Bhagavatam class was on. And I know that voice. I know that. I've heard it before. And then I sat down in the living room. And then little Gopal, he had the video of Dr. Susan. But you couldn't hear, there was no audio. So I was trying to listen to the voice. And it says, Dr. Seuss. Sounds like Dravida Prabhu. And I just had to sit there for a minute. Wait, what's going on here? I had to take that extra moment, that extra step to sort it out for myself. Says, oh, okay, I get it. Gopal. You know, maybe, okay, you tricked me. So in Krishna consciousness, we always have to endeavor. And Srila Prabhupada actually explained, there's many different ways. Last night we had a program, we defined the mind, and it was very interesting. We came up with so many terms. The mind is a switch. The mind is a, what else did we say? Was Shisha here? Connector. The mind is fickle, like descriptions. What else?
Interpreter.
A mop, okay. You can say, man, it's a monkey, it's a clown, it's a rascal.
Uncontrolled
horses. Yes. Unbridled. It's an instrument, so many things. And then now we have to consider, it's good to analyze words. It's also good to analyze the term Vaishnav. Okay, literally means follower of Vishnu. We're okay with Vishnu here? Okay, like we're not fanatical. Like, no, it's only Krishna. You know, are we okay with being Vishnu followers? Okay. It's my understanding that they're all both okay. Krishna and Vishnu are all right. And then if you read the Nectar of Devotion, you'll understand the philosophy. You'll understand how Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva applies. And how, yes, they are one, but they are also distinct. Okay. So Vaishnav means follower of Vishnu. That's historically, that's how we can be termed as, you know, let's say people who are theologists, they'll put us in that box, that nice, neat box. But then it means a little bit more than that. It means a little bit more. Yeah, it means to live up to what you believe in. Not just to say, I believe this and this and this and a whole bunch of facts and numbers and figures and, you know, points. But now I have to live it. I have to breathe it. I have to smell it. I have to really get really absorbed in it. And that takes a little bit of time. That takes a little bit of effort because you're tackling with your conditioning. And we're all conditioned a little differently. Well, most devotees here are from the U.S., Canada, right? South American countries. Our conditioning is, did I miss someplace? Eastern Europe? Venezuela. Oh, South America, right? It's still there, isn't it? Okay, we all have different conditions, different flavors, and what's so nice about this community and International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you have people of various different conditionings that just come together. You know, I have lots of friends who are from India, like most of you, and they love Bollywood. And I look at some of it and I say, oh my God. Now the conditioning, to them, it's beautiful. And for us, if we see something like Dr. Zhivago or something like a few minutes of it, this is, oh, this is very nice. You know, it's just a different standard, different quality, different approach. And so the conditionings are very different, but they are all conditions. They're all, let's say, programmed. We've all been programmed by the modes of material nature in different shapes and forms. So when I mentioned earlier on that we're all kind of, that Krishna performs dramas, it's absolutely true, because here we are, like somebody like Lakshmani, she thinks she's Lakshmamani. But who's that? Lakshmamani. She thinks she's Lakshmamani. So that's the role apparently she's playing by the grace of God, by the blessings of Prabhupada. But, you know, in the next life, it can be something else. Another great soul will be there. You know, I don't think you're going to come back. That's my take on it. But who am I to judge? You know. Or, you know, it came clear in our head when, before we became a devotee, we were Joe Blow, Mary Brown, somebody. I'm sorry if I didn't mention Jewish names. No, I'm not sorry. You know, we were somebody else, you know, and we had a certain impression of ourselves, certain image of ourselves, you know. And that got shattered when someone told us, and when we applied ourselves, somebody says, you're not that body. No, that's not your name. And Srila Prabhupada comes along and gives us slaps on a new name. Gives us a new name, because it's like a new life, a new experience, a new way of being, a new way of thinking. So our role changes. You know, we direct plays, and it's fun to always shuffle people around sometimes. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a practice, you've gone for about a week, and it's just, oh God, the person playing the leading role is just not getting it. And, oh, you talk to some of your principal people, what are we going to do? I don't know, you know. And then you have to start talking about compromising and what will make that person happy. And then you have to, you know, tell the sad, sour news, you know. Oh, it's not, you know, I was thinking you would be better, you know. And you have to be super diplomatic. It's very hard sometimes, but it has to be done. It must be done. So when we're organizing a drama, you know, people line up, you know, oftentimes people have their preferences, and oftentimes we do auditions. And most people line up, the biggest line was for the demon parts. To be a saint is kind of boring, I guess. But like we're all, and it goes to show. Now in the mundane world, definitely everybody's going through a drama. They always use that term. It's a drama. I'm going through a drama. People say drama queen, drama king. And it's always going on. And sure enough, we are in some kind of an illusion. We've created an illusion. We're on a stage, and you know, Shakespeare said the whole world is a stage. And we're dancing around, strutting around, you know, trying to fulfill, you know, let's say, trying to keep up with the image that we think that we have created for ourselves. You know? And that's what's driving us, is that ahankar, which sounds like a demon in itself, ahankar, like something that's going to eat you up. And you carry on your whole life like that until you come to terms with reality. And so when people start to, and we've seen this kind of magic happen, when people start to, you know, shed that stuff and put it behind them, and they come in and they do, when people start doing this kind of thing, I said, wow, progress. You know? When they start to bow, you know, before deities and other people, it says, wow, this is transformational stuff. It's good. So you go through it, and I would say, can maybe you would like to verify, when we first became devotees, we felt it very much. Maybe there's apprehension in the beginning. We go through state phases, and then it says, hey, I can really feel this. Then you go into a period where everything is going to get, maybe enter into a lull, so, and the dry routine. Oh, yes. I get to offer obeisance. I've got to offer obeisance. Now, when you hit 60 and all that, so I have to offer it. Maybe you can just give a big hug and that'll be okay. So anyways, you understand that period or that lull period that we go through of sort of complacency, which can be our worst enemy. Somehow or other, we have to snap out of this and get back to, you know, being a child again, and everything is wondrous. Everything's like, oh, it's a drama. You know, everything, look at that, you know, that's Spanish moss, how it's flowing in the wind and very mystical. And we just take things so much for granted. Actually, it's quite beautiful. So every day we have the chance to do this in the morning, Brahma Muhurta. You wake up, take your shower, wash off that tamagun, and just start really fresh. Snap yourself out by remembering your local deities, your guru, and all the Vaishnavas, and just start like real crisp, fresh, like a nice early morning cold snap in Canada. Yeah. In the middle of winter. So that's what we have to endeavor towards. Now, Krishna was always putting on dramas in his lila. Not only as a boy did he learn as one of the 64 arts how to dress, how to do makeup, how to do, you know, put things on the stage, how to just kind of be another person, but, you know, in school or out of school, it was always a drama that he was orchestrating. And here's just another one. The manifestation of this image that Krishna's Vishnu was putting out there compelled Akura to pray. There's a reason for Krishna doing things. And generally the reason is for us to come to a humble state. Now it's time to wind up the program, on with the next show. You know, the curtain closes, the curtain opens. So just one show is following another one. It's kind of a subsequent arrangement like that. Somewhere or other we have to plug in to the show. We have to agree to play the role and play it nicely and try to be that other person, the person that we didn't think we were. And illusion is very strong and ego is very strong. What you think you are, whatever is your opinion of yourself, even as a Vaishnav, Krishna may have a whole different take on it. You know, it really depends on him in the end. So, in general, you know, Prabhupada explains what's a devotee, like what's a Vaishnav, and when it was in the, trying to think the source of this now, I can't quite recall because of my Kali Yuga memory, but it's just a devotee is somebody who just cooperates with Krishna, somebody who cooperates, that's all. It's as simple as that. It's just like a simple sutra point, it's just a bullet point. that we have to just go by. It's not that difficult. So how do you know if you're cooperating with Krishna? Well, Krishna may appear to be some kind of an abstract concept to us sometimes because of our conditioning. And so how do we then, how does it register that Krishna's, that we're cooperating with him? That the operation is cooperate with God. And that's how we deal with the devotees. That's determined by how we deal with each other and how we try to cooperate with one another. So I'm a member of the GBC, Good Boys Club. And, you know, we vote on things. We vote on things. And I don't always agree. I just cannot in my heart, you know, with my own conditioning, with my understanding of Krishna consciousness, or based on my set of circumstances, I can't always agree with what has become the majority. Like, sometimes I'm part of the minority. But, you know, bearing in mind what Prabhupada gave us, cooperation means to kind of live with the decision, carry on, and let the Lord play it all out. Let it be played out. You're not the big controller, after all. Your one vote isn't going to make a super big change. So you're just one of 30 votes, or whatever. That's all it is, you know? 30, 35, somewhere in that range. If we have a majority, if we have a whole, you know, then it's that many votes. But, you know, some or other you have to have, live with that and carry on. And sometimes the topic, there will be a revote. And you might get your way. But some or other, you know, instead of just constantly resisting and being a fighter all the time over everything, better to just kind of play along with it and simply cooperate. So when it comes to the drama that is played out for us in Krishna consciousness and the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, everybody's got their duty to execute, and we just do that in a good spirit. And, you know, in this way, Krishna will play a major role himself. And the only other drama that's there, the drama of resistance, non-cooperation, it's just being stubborn, being like a mule, which is pretty standard for most of us, then Krishna's not going to take as much interest. It's simple as that. So everybody likes to be, for Krishna to be right in there with them. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, when Duryodhana is saying, everyone, give some importance to Bhishmadev. I want you to line up, be around him. And why Bhishmadev? Because practically on the whole battlefield, he was the most respected person apart from Krishna. Bhishmadev, everybody loved him. People on both sides loved him. So it gave us a level of significance and importance to those people. It says, I get to be near Bhishma. I get to be right next to him. So in the same way, you know, if Krishna can... You decide on your drama, the Maya drama or the Krishna drama. And if it's the Krishna drama where there's direct devotional service, then you know that he's much more there with you. He's just much more there. It's just comforting to know that, to know that he's right there. And so when we look at reflect on the personality of Kura, how fortunate he was to have these two lords, you know, with him in his presence. And what a great benefit that was for him. Akura is known as the master of prayers. You know, he's the one that he was a powerful praying dude. You know? And, you know, we do this this workshop sometimes, and it's called Nine Devotions, and it's very therapeutic. It goes for about 2 hours, and we ask, it's very interactive. We ask everyone that's there, usually if you got more than 30 people, it's a little too much. And we ask everyone to just present their prayer, write a prayer. So we hand out, you know, it's not just gadgets, but paper, pen, you know, those things. You know, remember them? And they just compose their prayer. And... Some of our audience has been not devotees at all, but martial arts people, yogis, and people coming from different backgrounds. And I'm not really sure where some of them are coming from, but the fact that they came to see a Swami means they must have some spiritual inclination. So you'll be really surprised the kind of words that come out, poetical words and phrases and realizations that come out of kind of ordinary people. It's really wonderful. And we try to encourage them to say that please compose a prayer that doesn't have to, not what you're demanding, but it's more in the realm of giving thanks and expressing wonder and asking for strength, you know, the more meaningful kind of prayers. So prayers are powerful, and when you talk like that to people, say, yeah, it's true. And after doing the whole session, not just putting people through the exercise of prayers, but the rest of the nine practices of devotional service, people come out and say, this is really wonderful, and thank you for helping me to believe in God. Even yogis who are like Ashtanga, you know, like people are teach different forms of yoga, they'll go through this little course just after 2 hours and say, thank you, I believe in God again. Just like, it was amazing, it's so miraculous, you know? And just because you put people through, you know, you win them over first by doing a little chanting and then you do a little reflection. Smarana means recall some thing that happened in your life that gave you a great leap of faith. And so people start to open up and confess, and just opening up all the wounds is very therapeutic. And then, you know, the moment we go to, what is it, Vandanam. And Vandanam means, you know, to pray. And by the time you've been on a roll with them for a good half hour or 40 minutes, they're ready to, you know, be creative or write out something that really has been powerful for them. So prayer is big, and Kura sets the tone for us. You just went through that. And as well as some of the wonderful bhajans by the great acharyas like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur and so on like that. They set the tone for us, what should be our message, what should be our mood, and so on. Mood is the thing that's very important. It's not always the physical gestures, it's not just, you know, the routine. It's a little bit more what's coming from the heart. And a good drama, a good performance is when people really draw the audience in. So like in connection to Cuba, so my last visit to Cuba was in November. That's not a bad time of the year. Ticket prices are low. By the way, it only costs $600 from Canada, round trip ticket, plus 1 week stay at a 4-star retreat with free food at one of the world's best beaches. At Paradero, pretty good deal, right? No visa required, just whip out your Canadian passport. And so anyways, the last event that we had was and every day for a whole week we go to a different part of Cuba. It's arranged by devotees, and it's not easy. Devotees don't have much money. It costs them a lot just to get on a bus, and sometimes they have to wait like anything for a bus. Their lifestyle is so different from here, so different. It almost makes you want to cry. On the other hand, their feelings, their relationships, their living by meager means has many advantages at the same time. But we won't go there right now. So the last program was in Havana, and that's the main city in Cuba. And devotees had arranged for that 30-year-old, your ever well-wisher, documentary about Srila Prabhupada. And frankly, I hadn't seen it for about 25 years. I said, and I just thought, you know, my mind's going, oh, this old thing. Oh, yeah. Okay. So we went through it, and it had, you know, subtitles, you know, Spanish subtitles in it. And this was held in a theater which was refurbished, you know. And most buildings are in disrepair in Cuba. There's beautiful colonial Spanish buildings there. You can see they had their better days, you know, before the 60s. But most things are in disrepair. So same thing holds true for, you know, any other buildings. They refurbished this building. I was quite surprised. And so I sat in, I did my presentation. We got kirtan going. There was a few folks that came. It wasn't so well promoted. But the people that sat through there and just watched Your Ever Well Wisher, which is all about Prabhupada and his achievements and his accomplishments, they were just crying like anything. And I admit I had to cry too, watching them cry. And they were so touched. And you know, when you look at the documentary, you think, current audience, the script, you know, doesn't fly anymore. This is the different century. It's a different time now. You've got, you know, it's got to be a different. Yadubar, unfortunately, is going to, you know, go at it again, maybe update the whole thing. So the response by people in Cuba is absolutely phenomenal. I talked to Shivaram Swami about, you know, like his time in Hungary, and he said, like, after Hungary became like a free country, he said that's the time to, you know, really get in there and strike, you know, before everyone gets contaminated. So my worry about Cuba is that before it gets really spoiled by materialism, capitalism, which it seems to be the way it's going, then let's move very fast and try to interest these wonderful people with honey-coated hearts. I think maybe, I travel around the world, probably they're the most loving kind of people in the world that I've seen. They're kissing all over the place. They really are. And they are so eager. You'll get in a room with some Cuban folks, and it's just like being this, like you can imagine, go in a flashback to, if you imagine if you were there with Prabhupada in those very early days in the Lower East Side of New York. So eager to learn, you know. And what's nice about Cubans is that most people have a university education. You wouldn't be able to tell sometimes by the way they live, their standard of living, but there's a high level of etiquette there and respect. And thank God, you can walk down the street and they're not wired up. You know, they're not wired. They're not on an iPhone or iPod yet. That's not happened yet. And you know, it's very delightful. It's really kind of like going back to the 50s almost. And when you look at the cars, there's about 60% of the cars are those beautiful old models, you know, like the time that Dravida and I, when, you know, the time we were growing up, like those souped up cars, like, so they're American bodied cars with Russian engines, that's what I was told. It's a real charmer of a place, and, you know, we're asking for our blessings in that regard. So I got invited there through Murari Gupta, whom you know, he's the Cuban born doctor from Miami, and that's, and he can't go. But I can go. And people who are born from Cuba, they have to go through like a special lane way, you know, to get, if you want to fly there, you know, they won't necessarily interrogate you, but they'll question you like anything because they consider you're a defector, you know. So it's really kind of unfortunate. I walk around in my robes and I go to the airport like this. I usually get asked a few more questions than the other people, but they're quite apologetic. They'll just say, oh, excuse me, but I mean, I just have to ask you a question. And, you know, like, and that's quite nice, you know. So what are you doing here? Says, well, I'm visiting some friends and I'm a yoga teacher. Oh, you teach yoga, oh, okay. And then, you know, you go through another level, you might be asked once, twice, thrice. But it goes, it's pretty smooth going. And then you're there, you're in. And I've walked, you know, I have insomnia issues, so I've been in Havana and walking up and down the streets, chanting japa, a few extra rounds, starting early. I always like to be ahead of the game. And, you know, nobody has any problem with this, you know. I walk by the U.S. Embassy and everywhere, you know, just it's a wonderful place. It's an amazing frontier. I feel very blessed to go there on a regular basis and work with Ikshwaku, who's our regional secretary for that area, Cuban-born school teacher in Miami. So it's nice. Maybe you can join me. If not, you can stay envious. You know, and it's just people haven't been contaminated. That's all. But I would say, It really is a good time. In America, everywhere you go, it's people are quite warm, friendly, you know, once they get out of their cars. And everyone, there's an obsession with being in a car and not being a pedestrian and not being outside, out and about. That's the biggest problem, the biggest challenge. But overall, people are just warm, friendly. They don't want to get too involved. We know the commitment is kind of weak until somebody hits a real bump in life. Then they're kind of curious, then they want to know more. Otherwise, people are kind of relaxed. But, you know, I sometimes think about it. Remember the struggles we went through? Those devotees were around, you know, Tomoharnos and Arid Shisha. Like, we were not, the world was against us. The world was against us. We were taken to court during Prabhupada's time. We were mind controlling, brainwashing cultists. That was not so long ago. And they don't say that about us, unless maybe you're in the deep south somewhere. Is this the deep south? Did I say the wrong word?
We're in the deepest south.
So the climate is good for getting out Krishna consciousness, for sharing it. And I think even there was a time in our movement we had sort of a high, low self-esteem. And we were kind of embarrassed to bring out Krishna consciousness, but no more. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. Everything, whatever people are doing out there is much more embarrassing than we could ever imagine. It's all very, people, talking about drama, people love to hear about somebody else's drama. And the more scandalous it can be, the better it is, the more money you make on it. You know, that is very unfortunate. That is very unfortunate. So anyways, what we'd like to do is just kind of like wrap up and say that yeah, there's choices out there if you take airlines. We know you have a lot of choices out there, but thank you for flying American Airlines, whatever. So there's a lot of choices up there about which drama you want to be part of. So let's stick into the ISKCON / Krishna drama as opposed to the Maya / you know, ego / Kali Yuga drama. Two major choices. This way or that way. So make your choice. I'll leave you with that. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Do you have any questions or comments? Is it really the termination point here? Or should we just put together a drama? What do you say, Jared? Do you want to do something? You like to do drama? It's about time, right? Okay, there is a question over there. Alain.
Thank you very, very much, Maharaj, for your down-to-earth approach to Krishna consciousness. It's very, very much appreciated. And, you know, when we go through a kirtan like this morning, and everybody gets together and, you know, have a little bit of a taste, it's a lot easier to do our own work, so to speak. So thank you very, very much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, kirtan is such a nice formula for, you know, opening up your heart and all your conditioning you bring in. Like, say, I just came from South Africa, and, you know, we have people from different, we have Afrikaans there, which is, you know, people with the white, Dutch white background. And we have a lot of Indian community, and then you have Zulus there. And everybody comes into the kirtan. You throw them in the circle. They come in with their own conditioning. But it's all channeled to Krishna. It's all so wonderful. Yeah, it's nice. When you contribute, we have to contribute. Let us not be transcendental wallflowers. Let's just get into the thick of the service and don't hesitate. Apprehension gets you into trouble. Story of Yudhishthira is there. So nobody wants to visit hell. So do not hesitate. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Bruce, I think time is up, okay? The heat is on. Time to do some seva. You know, burn up your khichdi. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai.